Praise the Lord. We took a couple of weeks to look at some of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We started with the picture of the Holy Spirit given to us in Genesis with Abraham, Isaac, and that servant who in that particular portion, he's named earlier, but in the particular portion where he is sent out by Abraham to find a bride for Isaac, he's unnamed. Same as the servant in Ruth, the unnamed servant that brings Ruth into the fold. Then we looked at how we can offend the Holy Spirit, because he's a real person. There's some that get this idea that, you know, especially out of the old King James, you know, he's the Holy Ghost, you know, he's the Holy Spirit. Like, we tend not to think, you understand, the spirit realm doesn't require a body. Hello? You go to Timothy, the invisible, immortal God. In Colossians, you got, in Christ Jesus, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. The spirit realm existed prior to the material realm. The material realm is a spoken out expression of that which is spirit. God manifested himself in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we see him, we're going to be like him. He was able to do things in the resurrected body that wasn't able to do prior. Entered into a locked room. No. There's aspects of the glorified body that are hard for us to explain in the natural, because we only perceive in the natural. But he's a real person. It's tough to explain the triune God. And when you look at the ministry and the nature of the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of overlap between the Holy Spirit, the Son, and the Father, because, behold, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. Okay, so there of necessity needs to be an overlapping. Then we looked at the offenses. We can quench, shut down the Holy Spirit. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can wound him. Yeah. Deliberate acts on my part can wound the Holy Spirit. The danger of blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And that takes very hard, deliberate action on our part. It's not a casual thing that is done lightly. But it is a reality. And Jesus warned that blasphemy against the Holy Spirit cannot be forgiven in this age or in the age to come. We need to be cognizant of that. Then we looked last week at the Holy Spirit is our greatest confidant. And he's our greatest comforter. There's no one, not even your spouse, that understands you like the Holy Spirit does. There isn't, you know. He's our comforter. He understands those situations. He is the greatest counselor. I've seen some people that were given really bad counsel. And it's always kind of terrified me a little bit when I'm asked to counsel somebody. At least I give bad counsel. But the Holy Spirit gives good counsel. People don't need my opinion. Quite honestly, they don't need your opinion. What they need to know is, what is God saying? And only the Holy Spirit can make that real to them. And the Holy Spirit is the greatest intercessor. He prays for us. And he puts burdens in our heart because he's an intercessor. And, you know, First Corinthians 3 and 1 Corinthians 6, Paul explains under the anointing of the Holy Spirit that we're the temple of the living God. Individually, you are. Corporately, we are. Because corporate is just the collection of the individual. And you're the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we're all gathered here together. And together, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And he's going to speak to us. He doesn't always give us all the information. In fact, sometimes it's better that we don't have all the information. But that the burden's there. And that we pray for one another. So that was the three part. This morning, our meditation is going to be starting perhaps a two or three part again, simply entitled "Walking with the Holy Spirit." And we're going to go to Romans 8, verses 1 to 4. And this isn't the text. You'll see in a second here. It's in your bulletin. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that's how it ends in the ESV. Some of the other translations add this portion, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Those are two different aspects. We didn't understand that. I illustrated this years ago when we were still in Lindsay, Ontario, and I bought, I think it was a Car and Driver magazine, and it had the new pictures of the new 911 Porsche. Could go from 0 to 60 in 4 seconds, and would top out at 180 miles per hour. And I used that as an illustration where a fellow was diagnosed with terminal cancer, and he wins the lottery. And he says to his wife, he says, "You know, I've always wanted to own a Porsche. And before I go, I'd like to own a Porsche." He says, "Well, we've got the money now." "Yeah, but where in North America and I drive it? You know?" She says, "Well, let's go to Germany. You can drive it on the Autobahn. There's no speed limit." So he couldn't get a ticket, right? But he's driving the car, but he's not subject to the law because there's no law controlling the speed limit. But he's still under death. Two different issues. Okay? You've been set free from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law would be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile towards God. And that's a danger for me. There's a lot of things in life that I like. And when I set my mind on them, if my focus is too high on that, I quench the Spirit. And I have to regroup and I have to set my mind on the things of the Lord. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile towards God. For it does not submit to God's that should be law. My mistake. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. There's a difference between condemnation and discipline. Condemnation is used three times. And it's a damnatory sentence. It's a condemnation. It is found in Romans 5:16 and verse 18 and here in 18 and 1. Hebrews 2:6 talks about discipline. The Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. The idea of discipline is to train up children to be instructed or to be taught or to learn. To cause one to learn is a chastisement. That same word is used of the scourging of Jesus. Sometimes discipline isn't pleasant. In fact, Hebrews said that. No discipline at the time is pleasant. Amen? How many have been disciplined to the Lord? Don't raise your hand. You might be embarrassed. You know? There's a difference. Now we have a short video. I'm using this portion as a springboard. And hopefully I can pull off by the Spirit what this video does. You got it? He had to do some real fancy things to get this to work. Hey, but you know, to do that, he used a springboard. So we're using this portion as a springboard to launch us, and hopefully we can nail the landing. That's my goal. Okay, so the purpose is to motivate my congregation to develop spiritual habits that generate sensitivity and awareness of the presence of the Holy Spirit. He's here this morning. Whether you perceive him or not, he's here. And the perception is up to me. Richard, one of the first things you did when you entered here this morning and you got your guitar out was you tuned it. You know? That ancient Chinese song, tuning. Okay? He tuned it. We need to be tuned to the Holy Spirit, to his presence. Not just Sunday morning fellowship, but on a regular basis. More than once during the day. Because it doesn't take much to get me whacked off. You know, it's kind of like, remember the old pinball machines and you shake it and you get tilt? That happens to me a lot in my life. I had a number of tilts the other day doing deliveries. They didn't go smooth. There was a tilt. And I had to regroup. Just in my soul, get my, you know, yes, I'm doing a job, but I'm doing it as unto the Lord. Colossians says that don't be, when you do your job, do it as unto the Lord, wholeheartedly, not as men pleasers. You know, you're not doing it to make the boss happy or because the boss is looking. You're doing it to the Lord. Amen? So, you know, and when I get to a place and things aren't quite the way they need to be, it's easy for me to get bent, and I need to just in my own soul regroup and say, Holy Spirit, you're here. This looks awkward right now, but it's God, you're going to make it work, and it does. So this portion is a springboard. Now, major point number one: who are you listening to? Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. This is the word of the Lord. And the challenge to me is, I will be blessed if I don't listen to the counsel of the wicked. Who am I listening to? Don't stand in the way of sinners. You know? No, that's not talking about blocking them. That's talking about that you're walking with them in the way. There is a way that we're supposed to walk, but the world wants to draw us away. Nor sit in the seat of scoffers. That I don't mosey down with them and sit in the same seat and think and act and respond the way they do. And in this world today, especially with TV and our phones, that there is so much stuff that can come in. You stated that there were doors that you realized were open that you had to shut, and some things that you literally had to remove. That's all of us. There's times there's certain things I have to shut down because it's the counsel of the world. It's the advice of the world. The number of churches in North America that are being affected by woke and saying that transgender and all of these things are acceptable before God, and before God they're not. I like the J.P. Phillips translation. In Romans 12, he translated it somewhat like this. Don't let the world press you into its mold. And there is a pressing. So I have to stop and ask myself a number of times, like, I'm hearing stuff. Am I walking in the counsel of the wicked? What is it that I'm listening to? No? And I want to encourage you this morning. It is really vital to us that we develop the habit of hearing the Word of God. My son, it is something to do with his being dyslexic and being a preemie. When Lynn was coaching him in biology, oh boy, I was getting frustrated. There were a couple of times I got up and went upstairs because he'd be laying on the floor and he's 16, 17 years old. And Lynn's reading the book, and he's flip-flopping on the floor. And I said, pay attention. You know? But that's how he learned. He could, after hearing it read, he could almost recite it. Couldn't read it. I still remember, you know, how many here remember VeggieTales? Yeah? Yeah? Larry, you got an oven mitt on your head. Oh, Bob. They're all the rage. Everybody's wearing them. I listened to that half-hour episode for 5 hours driving back from Calgary to Swift Current. He'd finish it once, and Lynn's sister-in-law, Carol, said, that was very good. Could you do it again? And she kept saying that to him. That's the only episode I remember. Oh, Bob. They're all the rage. You know, what we hear penetrates. You need to decide how you learn, how you receive it, and then monitor what's coming in. You know, I brought a special Bible this morning for you because we were talking last week about how we get the King James, and I was trying to explain, but I knew I had a Bible at home with a chart in it. And when I see that chart, you can tell me the words, but if I can see it, it makes sense. You might be able to read the building of the temple or the building of the tent in the wilderness because you're oriented that way. You're a builder, you too. And I read that and I go, huh? But you show me a picture, I go, okay, I got it now. You know? Determine how you learn and then determine, I'm not going to let in the counsel of the ungodly. I'm not going to get with the sinners. I'm not going to see the scoffers. But I'm going to delight in the law of the Lord, and in his law will I meditate day and night. We have to control what's feeding our soul. Amen? Yeah. I eat too much. That's why I look like I do. I'm full gospel, so what can I tell you? But you also have to watch what you eat. Yeah. Bob, I had just brown sugar soaked cinnamon bun this morning. Lynn was still in bed and she was going to have toast. I didn't have to share it. Wayne, I enjoyed it immensely. But I didn't want it to go to waste, but that's where it went. You know? You gotta watch what you're feeding yourself with. Amen? Okay? Next. Mark 4, 1-24. Turn there. We're not going to read that whole portion. I just want to highlight certain things. Mark 4, and this is an interesting parable. Because they said to Jesus after he shared the parable, they said, you know, like, what does it mean? And Jesus, some scholars think this might have been the first parable that Jesus ever shared. And the reason they think that is that he says, if you don't understand this parable, how will you understand any of them? So it, there's a chance that it may be the model parable that sets the standard. If you don't get this, you're not going to get any of them. And it's the parable of the man who's a sower, and he's got one seed, and he goes out and he sows it, and the seed goes into four different places on the pathway. On the rocky ground, on the weed-infested ground, and on the good soil. I heard one guy preach on this one time, and it really disturbed me. He was saying, only 25% of the people you share the gospel with will accept it, and because there's four types of soil. No, that's not what it's talking about. This is a parable for you and I for the rest of our lives. Okay? And here's the meaning. Verse 3. Listen. Okay? That's the first word there. Listen. Go to verse 9. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 12. So they may indeed see, but not perceive, and they may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. Jesus isn't just saying that. He's quoting that. Okay. The reference goes back to Isaiah. He's fulfilling prophecy that there's going to be one who comes who's going to make truth so plain and simple, but they won't hear. He's going to make it so simple. They'll see but not perceive it. He's fulfilling that. He's not disguising his words. He's being very straightforward and clear. In fact, the idea of a parable is the root word for our word, parallel. It means to lay down an example just like what you're trying to transmit. They line up. And he says, you're not getting it. verse 15. And these are the ones that along the path where the word is sown, when they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away. What's the theme here? Hearing, listening. What is it you're listening to? What is it you're hearing? Okay. Verse 15 and 16. Okay, I already read 15. 16. These are the ones sown on the rocky ground. The ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it. Okay, they're hearing. Okay, but there's a problem with the soil. Okay. Verse 18. And others are the ones sown among the thorns. They are those who hear the word. Okay? Are you getting the theme? The idea is hearing. What are you listening to? What are you hearing? This is critical. Verse 20. But those who are sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word of God, accept it, and bear fruit. Again, hearing. 23. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. 24. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. In my life, at any time in my life, my soul can reflect any one of those four kinds of soil. Bitterness will shut down the word of God in our lives. There's two ways of missing grace. One is to go back to the law and try to be justified by your own actions. And two is in Hebrews, don't let the root of bitterness become established whereby many fall from grace. When I'm bitter, my heart is hard like the sidewalk. The word of God can be sown onto it, but it doesn't get root. And the adversary comes and steals it away. John, what's the soil of your soul? I can be very concerned about things happening in our lives, my kids and our own life. You know, every life can have rocky soil. It's just the result of volcanic activity. How many have never had anything blow up in your life? When there's rocky soil, there's no depth of soil. And the word comes, and it takes root quickly, But there's no depth of root, and the word gets burned out. John, what's the condition of the soil of your soul? I can be overwhelmed with, you know, situations that are happening, you know, whether it's friends that are having health situations or family having health situations or situations in congregational life or what's happening with my own kids. And I can be, you know, and the weeds were simply cares and concerns of this world. And the cares can choke out the Word of God if I'm not careful. Hello? And John, it's up to you to recognize whether your heart is hard, nothing can get root, it's filled with rubble, just volcanic activity, it's filled with concerns. But if you will have good soil, the Word will land in it, and depending on the soil, you'll see. Now, listen, this is not percentage. You'll see 30, 60, and 100-fold return. So this parable on listening, what are you listening to, is a parable for each one of us for every day of our lives. How are you hearing? What is the soil of your soul like? If you're angry and ticked off about something, it's hard. You know, if you're remembering the pains, it's rocky. If you're filled with concerns and anxieties, you know, Sam's going down to Arizona and into Mexico, and he's going to do some work. And Malachi and Kim are going to go into Guatemala. You know, listen, where there's, you know, fear is the opposite of faith. I have to deal with that. And I need to cultivate the soil of my soul. I need to break up the things in my soul. That's my responsibility in my life. You have a responsibility in your life. How are you hearing? What are you going to hear? John 8:44. Speaking of the adversary, the devil, when he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. You know, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. The world is following the god of this age, and we're hearing stuff that is contrary to Scripture. And I want to tell you, folks, the world, the Scripture says there's coming a day when they'll call that which is good evil, and they'll call that which is evil good. We're there. What are you going to listen to? You either have a choice of listening, you know, I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said, or listening to the world, and Satan is a liar, and he's a liar from the beginning. Amen? We need to make that decision. 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I'm afraid that the serpent who deceived Eve, by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from the sincere and pure devotion of Christ. The adversary wants to distract us and take us away from the purity and the simplicity of the gospel. The Holy Spirit is present with us, and he is whispering to us continuously, lovingly, gently, of the goodness of God. But the adversary wants to steal that away. And John, you need to recognize where your soul is at, and break up the fallow ground. Break up that hard ground. Get rid of the rocks. I remember I was younger, and I was at my mom's relative farm. They lived in between Bigger and Candu, and he had these Clydesdales, and we were out picking stones. I said, you know, Uncle Mike, I called him Uncle Mike, you've been out here for years doing this. You know, you're still picking rocks. I said, I don't get it. He says, he called me son. He says, what you need to understand is sometimes the rocks are deep. And sometimes the pain in your soul is deep. He says, in the wintertime, the ground starts to freeze and it begins to push the rocks out like you would pop a pimple. He says, so where it was clear, where we're clearing it now, he says, next spring, there's going to be some new ones out here. John, are you getting rid of the rubble that is being brought up? You know? We all had imperfect parents. We all miss the mark. And if I allow myself to go back to my childhood and think of things that I felt were done incorrectly, I can allow bitterness or rubble to occupy. Got to get it out. Hello? It's true for all of us. I haven't met a single believer yet who is rubble free. Some have had more rubble to deal with than others. Right? But can't live there. Okay? 2 Corinthians 4:4, in their case, the God of this world has blinded their minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. You know, and essentially to unbelievers, you know, Lucifer wants to blind me to things of God. Because the truth will set you free. No? It's an ongoing work of the adversary. Who are you listening to? This is critical. If you're going to walk with the Holy Spirit, walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, you've got to make up your mind what you're going to listen to. Okay, second thing, who are you yielding to? And I put down Romans 6, 1, and there's a dash because I'm not sure where I was going to stop reading. Romans 6:1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? You see, there is a problem in Rome. They had this idea that if you're saved by grace while you were in sin, where it says where sin did abound, grace did much more abound, they came up with this weird teaching that if you want more grace, if you want more power of God, sin more. That's not scripture. Counter to, yeah, no kidding. So he says, what should we say then? Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we who died to sin live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Okay, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. If I yield to him, I'll walk in newness power. We're going to deal with that in more depth next week. For if we've been united with him in death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. And we're going to deal more with that next week. So stay tuned, come next week. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin. For the one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. Amen? But the life that he lives to God. Boy, that reminds me, did I put that in the notes here? No. That reminds me of Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Okay? I have a new life. That's be a good name for a church. New life. Oh, that's us. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. I think the old King James word there is reckon. And that was an old term for calculation. Two and two, I reckon, I calculate, is four. So when it says you must consider, That's a reckoning on your part. That is saying, here's the facts. Regardless of how I feel, regardless of the situation that I'm in, regardless of the rubble that's being pushed up, regardless of the concerns and the terrors that are in my soul, I consider the truth and I accept the truth that my life is hidden in Christ in God. Colossians 3:1-4. That's a deliberate calculation I have to make. Let it rain on my feelings. Let it rain on my outward perception. We walk not by sight, but by faith. 2 Corinthians 5. Okay? What am I yielding to? Am I yielding to my distorted perceptions? Oh, I did have it there. Galatians 2:20. Okay, good. Okay? So you must kill yourself to dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. That means, John, you got control. Let it not. To make you obey its passions. Okay, John, what are you yielding to? No? Do not present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as to those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness. Every believer has that capacity to yield themselves to God and not to the old manner of life. Promise, verse 14, for sin will have no dominion over you since you're not under the law, but under grace. Okay. So in 2 Corinthians 5:17, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:14 deals with the same thing. Verses 13 and 14, do not present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. That's my decision in my life. You know? Present yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you're not under the law, but under grace. That's the word of the Lord for you this morning. You've been set free. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Now, I need to make the decision I'm going to walk in freedom. The scripture says, don't be unequally yoked. You know, Matthew 11, it says, all you that are weak and heavy laden, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Take of my yoke and you will find rest. One's automatic. When you accept Christ, you're set free. But John, you need to learn to come and take my yoke, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I will find rest. One's automatic. Romans 5. We have peace with God through the cross. But in my experience, I need to decide I'm going to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'll be yoked to the Holy Spirit and to Christ, and I will find rest. So John, not you, me, if you're not finding rest, check your soul. What are you listening to? And what are you yielding to? Okay. Paul in 2 Corinthians. So he says, I know a man about 13 years ago, whether in the flesh or out of the flesh, I don't know, but such a man was caught up to the third heaven, and he saw things that were not lawful to be spoken of. And because of the abundance of revelation given unto that man, a thorn in the flesh was given to him, and John wasn't his mother-in-law, a messenger of Satan to buffet him. And Paul goes on, he says, I asked the Lord 3 times to remove it from me. And he didn't, but he gave him this answer. He said, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Occasionally I get there. But most of the time I'm not there. You know, most of the time I'm trying to do it. You know, I can do this. God says, no, you can't. You need to understand what your weaknesses are, and you need to invite me in and allow me to do it. John, who are you yielding yourself to? Even yielding yourself, John, to your own strengths is missing the mark. Am I letting Jesus in? Am I letting the Holy Spirit in? You know? Remember that old chorus? Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. O bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Huh? John, are you doing that? Or are you getting up, putting your work clothes on, getting ready to go to work and thinking you can do it yourself? There's days I can't even remember. I went into we were still in the rental house. I went into the bedroom 3 times, and I stood there, and I was trying to figure out what I went to the bedroom for. Went to put my shoes on and knew why I went to the bedroom. Didn't have socks. Folks, we can't do it. And John, you need to admit it. You need to confess it. I can't do it. But God, by his power, by his presence in the Holy Spirit, will come in. That's why we anointed with you all. You are a very capable young man. I doubt that there will be a job that you can't do when you're down there. But I also know this. The Holy Spirit in you can do exceedingly abundantly. And I want you to go down there with an attitude of, I'm being sent. Congregation's praying for me. I'm on a mission. And my God says he'll do it. That's the key. And then, you know, God will amaze us with capacities that we didn't even recognize that we had. Okay? Last one this morning. Who are you walking with? Okay. What are you listening to? What are you yielding to? And who are you walking with? We got a couple of clips here, don't we? Or photos?
You sent me a picture of a dog.
Well, do it now. Please. Yeah. I can't pronounce the name. Belgian Malinois?
Belgian Malinois.
we had this dog, Moby. She is part Springer Spaniel and part Chocolate Lab. And she would pull the girls. She'd pull in. She'd walk with me. But she made them walk with her. Jack Jackson was coming to do a concert at the church we were at, and Johnny's out with Moby on the leash, and she sees the bus pull up and stop, and she takes off, running through the parking lot to get them. And I had to yell at my son, let go of the leash! He's getting dragged along. I shared this story with you before. I was walking home at lunch from work one day. I was at the co-op, and I was a couple blocks away where the rental house was. And I was just in my spirit talking to God. I may have said a few words out loud. I said, you know, I want to thank you for being with me and walking with me. And I felt this pressure in my soul saying, who's walking with who? The Holy Spirit is always with you. Doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter what you're doing. The Holy Spirit's with you. And I've discovered in my life, sometimes the Holy Spirit's walking with me. kind of like the dog dragging Johnny. The guy in the white, in my mind, is the Holy Spirit. And I'm supposed to walk with him. Hello? There's a difference. Is the Holy Spirit, he's always with you. Is he walking with you? Or are you walking with him? There's a difference. You know? Moby would drag the other members of the family, but she'd walk with me. John, you need to determine whether you're walking with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Amos 3:3. Do two walk together unless they have agreed to meet? The King James says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Okay? He'll never leave you nor forsake you. I've taken the Holy Spirit into places he didn't want to go, but he won't leave me. Hello? Really? Are you walking with the Holy Spirit, or is the Holy Spirit walking with you? Are you catching my drift? There's a difference. Genesis 5:22-24, Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Verse 24, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. He's one of the few characters in the Bible that says he walked with God. That'd be with the person of the Holy Spirit. Christ hadn't been manifested yet. And just, I throw this out to you just as a thought. Was Enoch before or after the flood? Well, he's before, right? And before judgment came from God, Enoch walked with God and God took him. And he's the only one that said of. All the others says, and he died, and he died, and he died. And Enoch walked with God, and God took him. To me, it's a picture of the church being removed prior to the judgment of God. I could be wrong, but that's my perception. Genesis 6 and 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. Well, he went through the judgment. Not really. He was in an ark, not a submarine. He didn't go through the waters. He was above the waters. Hello? Right? He went above it. But he walked with God. John, are you walking with God? Matthew 4:19, and he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And that has played again in Matthew 8:22. 9 and 9, 10:38, 16:24, 19:21. That's interesting to me. And let me explain why. To one man, Nicodemus, Jesus said, you must be born again. And you need to. It's a spiritual truth. But to all the others, he said, follow me. John, you're born again. But are you following me? Are you walking with me? Are you walking with the Holy Spirit? Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always. He's always with us, right? Hello? He's always with us. But am I always walking with him, or is he walking with me? I'm really praying you get the difference. Walking with him, he leads. Walking with me, I'm leading, and I'm not necessarily doing what he wants. But he, by commitment, by covenant, won't leave me nor forsake me. And I need to adjust. I need to put things right. And I need to make the decision to walk with him. That's the whole theme of this, is walking with the Holy Spirit. Am I doing my, God, I'm going to do this. Bless it in Jesus' name. Whoa. God will, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his light is in the law of the Lord, and his law does he meditate day and night. And he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, and its leaf also shall not wither. and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. If I'm doing what God says, there will be the blessing of the Lord. Hello? What's the reality? I need to choose it. What am I listening to? What am I yielding to? And who am I walking with? Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths, straighten your paths. I want to walk with God. Psalm 37, 5. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. Commit your way to him. Follow him. Romans 8, 14. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Galatians 5, 25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. It's a decision. John, you need to make it. You need to make it. Now, I don't know. You got a closing song, do you? But it's not He Leadeth Me, is it? It is. Ooh, good. This is an old hymn. I like this hymn. I wasn't sure if he was going to find it because we didn't get the video, but he's going to do it live. Let's stand together.